So oft abandoned by our transgressions, if such a thing as grace exists, then grace was made for lives like this. There are no strangers, there are no outcasts, there are no orphans of God. So many fallen, but hallelujah, there are no orphans of God. Come ye unwanted, find affection. Come all ye weary, come and lay down your head. Come ye unworthy, you are my brothers. Such a thing as grace exists, and grace was made for lives like this. No strength.
Acts chapter 20, verses 17 through 24. And if you would stand with me, if you will, in honor of reading God's word, and we'll look at just the things that apply this morning. We've heard God's commentary on what he has done and how he's worked in life and what he wants to do in us as well. In Acts chapter 20, verses 17 through 21, the Bible says, this is from the life of the Apostle Paul, as he came back and he had to give an account to the elders of going among the Gentiles and of all things proclaiming the gospel. As we've heard here this morning, proclaiming the gospel to non-Jewish people and God's grace abundantly reaching people's lives. So it says in verse 17, "And from Miletus he sent to Ephesus and called the elders of the church. And when they were come to him, he said unto them, You know from the first day that I came into Asia, after what manner I have been with you at all seasons or at all times, serving the Lord with all humility of mind and with many tears and temptations which befell me by the lying in wait of the Jews. and how I kept back nothing that was profitable unto you, but I showed you, and I taught you publicly, and I went from house to house, testifying both to the Jews and also to the Greeks or the Gentiles, two things, repentance toward God and faith toward our Lord Jesus Christ. And now, behold, I go bound in the Spirit unto Jerusalem, not knowing the things that shall befall me there, except that the Holy Spirit witnesses in every city, saying that bonds and affliction abide me, or wait for me, or are upon me. Then verse 24, but none of these things move me, neither count I my life dear unto myself, so that I might finish my course with joy, and the ministry which I have received of the Lord Jesus. Now notice, to testify the gospel of the grace of God. Let's go to the Lord in prayer as we come before Him this morning. Father, in this place, we stand here today amazed at who You are, amazed at what You are doing, and amazed that You use us. Now, Lord, we've read Your Word, and there are other parts of Your Word that we look at this morning, and we just pray that You would speak to us, and we would ask and beg of You, Lord, that You would transform and change our hearts and change our lives in a way that will glorify and honor You, that You may receive the glory in it all. It is not about us, but Father, we declare publicly and openly now in this place this morning, it's about You. And it's about Your eternal purposes. And we want You to receive all of the glory. And we want You, Father, to be pleased with who we are and what we are and what we're doing when we center ourselves around Your perfect will, Your holy will. So Lord, this morning we pray in the time that we have left, use Your Word and use Your Spirit to guide us, to convict us, to convince us, and to empower us to do Your holy will. And we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. Just very quickly as we look at this, this is the life of the Apostle Paul, called to go to the Gentiles at a time when Gentiles were looked on as like animals, like dogs, so to speak. But God raised up Peter first, and then He raised up Paul and made him an apostle who would go out not only to the Jews, but especially to the Gentiles there. And so it is the gospel ministry that is at the center of what is taking place in this passage of Scripture. It is the gospel ministry that is the center, it ought to be the center of this church. It ought to be the center of your life and my life. And that's when we tune in with who God is and what He is doing, that's when God blesses with unending blessings. And I believe that's what we've heard this morning. That's what we want and we desire for our lives. We don't want it to end. Now, all those of you who've gone on mission, went on this mission trip this past week, you're here and you're still awake, paying attention, you're not too sleepy or anything. How many of you would like to just see what God did through you all through the group and through the thing? How many of you like to see that continue right here where we're at now? Just raise your hand real high. Okay, now put your hands down. And those of you who did not go, how many of you, this is the things that you've heard you would love to see and hear and realize. Those things go on right here in our church in Tallala, Ullagal, Claremore, Collinsville, Nowata. How many of you like to see that? Again, everybody, whether you win or not, how many of you agree with that? Everyone. Okay, that's what can happen. That's what happens when we tune our hearts into God. So it's the gospel ministry. Paul is talking about the gospel ministry. And just very quickly, I'll just read the scripture. You look at them on the screen up there. The gospel ministry presents a need to the people. I just want to read these passages. We've heard them before, but let's look at them very quickly again. Romans 3:23. For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. That's at the heart of the ministry. Man has fallen into sin, and God had to remedy that need, and so it was God who moved in time and history and eternity to bring the truth that brings people to Himself. Then we look at James chapter 2 and verse 10. James says, for whosoever shall keep the whole law and yet offend in one point, he is guilty of all. The main truth of the gospel, everyone is guilty. If we kept all the law, just broke one point in it, we're guilty of all. Everyone stands in need of this gospel ministry. Romans 6:23, for the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. That's the gospel ministry. God has made a way for people to escape the wages of sin. He has made a way to deliver from death. And then Isaiah 59:2, very important truth. But your iniquities, your sins, your self-centered iniquities, your self-centered crimes against God and against humanity, against one another. But your iniquities have separated between you and your God, and your sins have hid his face from you that he will not hear. Sin separates people from God. Sin separates God from people. If there's sin in our lives, it separates us from God. Though we have been received the grace of God, we have broken fellowship with him if we have known sin, unrepented sin in our lives. Then the last one, Isaiah 64:6, but we are all as an unclean thing, and all of our righteousnesses are as filthy rags. That's leprous rags, you know, the oozing sores from leprosy there. Filthy rags, and we all do fade as a leaf, and our iniquities like the wind have taken us away. And that's the state of man. That's the state of every single human being in the world. And we as God's people at First Baptist Church the Law, we as God's people in this church, if you're visiting from another church, it's your church, you, where you're at and where we're at. That's what God wants us to do, is to take his message of grace and mercy out to a world that is lost and dying. I cannot begin to tell you in the past few weeks, some of it's like 10 or 12 people have just passed away unexpectedly. Unexpectedly. 10 or 12 people we've been associated with in some way, family members or people that we know or whatever. The world needs to hear the message and needs to hear it now. And so we come and we see that how then do we bring this need of the gospel and make it real? First of all, we have to make it real to your life. We have to plead guilty. We have to plead guilty to who we are and what we are. When we witness to someone, we must present the gospel in a way that they plead guilty before God, so that gospel ministry, the grace of God, may touch their hearts and may touch their lives. And their sins must realize that they're alienated from God. And it's not about being good before you die so that you can go to heaven. It's not about that at all. And the spiritual death is the result of sin and being separated from God. And that we cannot remove our own guilt. There's nothing that we can do to remove our own guilt before God and before one another. And so there is a way that you and I are to look now at God through his word, through the grace of the gospel. That's what Paul talked about here in verse 24. It is to testify the gospel of the grace of God. And you and I are set by God. We are commanded by God. We are mandated by God to go and to take that gospel message, the testimony of that gospel message. And God made a provision. And here's the heart of it. Here's the heart of the whole matter. Bill even called on the phone. I missed the call and called him back last Sunday morning, and he had two words he needed the definition for. And these two words are the heart of everything. It's concerning the gospel, concerning your life, concerning your relationship with the Lord, concerning your walk with God. It's these two words. Two big, one of them's the big word, but we've talked about it before, so it's not a surprise. The word propitiation. The gospel message is propitiation, to testify the gospel of the grace of God. And the idea behind that is propitiation. It is a sacrificial act of God in behalf of people who are separated, who is everybody, separated by sin. And it is the word that means that God appeased, God moved in time and history and eternity to do one act that would satisfy his holiness and satisfy the just demands of a holy and a righteous God. And that is the most important word in the New Testament, because it's where God moved in such a way to satisfy who he is and what he is, so that you and I could come humbly before him and humble ourselves, be down before him and call upon him and ask for forgiveness of sins. Ask for the grace of God and the mercy of God to be in our hearts and our lives. And the second word that Bill asked me about that is also important in this gospel is imputing. Imputing means to attribute or ascribe something that belongs from someone else to someone that doesn't belong to them. And so imputing and the gospel, it is the message of Jesus died for us and God ascribes to us who don't deserve it. That's grace, unmerited favor. We don't deserve it. It's not ours. It doesn't belong to us. But it's the Son of God who died a righteous, lived a righteous life, and died a holy death in substitute for you and me. And so God ascribes to us what He is and what He did. And that's the heart of this gospel. That's what Paul is talking about as he gave an account to these Ephesian elders there in verse 24. I've received of the Lord Jesus to testify the gospel of the grace of God. Now, I just want to say two or three more things, and then I'm finished this morning. So if you're getting a little antsy, know we're coming to the end. Because in this idea of grace, in this idea of preaching the gospel, in this idea of proclaiming the truth of God's gospel, there's something that's got to take place in you and in me. And when we come to God on His terms, when we've talked about that in the Beatitudes, but when we humble ourselves before God and we look outside of ourselves and there's nothing in ourselves that makes us acceptable to God, so we trust what God has done for us and we come and approach Him, we receive from God grace, that is not just it and that's just not the end. That's the beginning. And here's the most important thing. If you don't remember anything else today, please remember this. Because when we receive the grace of God, there is an obligation. It's an obligation of obedience to God and to Jesus Christ. The grace of God is not given for you and me to be free and wild, live it up just however we please. The grace of God carries with it the responsibility of obedience to a loving and powerful and gracious and a merciful God. And if you and I continue in our sins and say, I know Him and I love Him and I've prayed the prayer and I've been through all those things and I can just, I can fail and all that and I'm not going to worry too much about it because He's just going to keep on forgiving me. You see, that's not it. You've missed the point. For you see, in grace, there is this obligation of obedience to God. That is at the heart of what Paul said in verse 21. He said, repentance toward God and what? Faith toward our Lord Jesus Christ. What is faith? Faith is obedience to Jesus Christ. And so grace is given so that you and I might be obedient to Him. Listen to what it says in the book of Hebrews chapter 5 and verse 9. It says, and being made perfect or being made whole, He, that is Jesus, became the author, notice, of eternal salvation, what? Unto all them that obey Him. You see, in grace there is this mandate of obedience. Romans chapter 6, verses 17 and 18. But God be thanked that you were the servants of sin, but you have what? Obeyed from the heart that form of doctrine which was delivered you. Verse 18, being then made free from sin, you became the servants of righteousness. You see, at the heart of grace is the mandate of obedience. So trusting Jesus Christ as the Son of God who died for your sins, that's the beginning of belief. That's the beginning of hearing. That's the beginning of God forming and shaping the desire in our heart with the conviction and the convincing that we are sinners separated by God. But God is able and God is willing, God desires for you and me to be forgiven of our sins. And that which Jesus Christ has done, God will ascribe that to us. He'll apply it to us and we stand before Him not guilty. Not because we prayed a prayer, not because we cried and shed tears over our sins, but we stand before God not guilty because of what Jesus Christ, His Son, did for you and for me. And so the obligation in this grace of God is that we come to Him and with a surrendered heart and a heart that's ready to go to Him in obedience. Romans chapter 10, verses 9 and 10. That if you shall confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus and shall believe in your heart that God has raised Him from the dead, you shall be saved. Verse 10, because with the heart man believes unto righteousness, notice, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. It's so much more than just believing it secretly in your heart. Obedience does not merit salvation. Very important. Obedience is important, and that's the result of receiving the grace of God. But obedience does not merit salvation. It only comes through what Christ did on the cross. And so look in your Bibles at, I think I probably forgot to put that on there, but Titus chapter 3. Turn your Bibles just there very quickly. Titus chapter 3, verses 4 and 5. If I can get there real quick, I'll do that. Titus chapter 3, verses 4 and 5 says, "But after that the kindness and the love of God our Savior toward man appeared." How? "Not by works of righteousness which we have done, but according to His mercy He saved us by the washing of regeneration and the renewing of the Holy Spirit." Now I want to close with this just very quickly this morning. Life that is characterized by the grace of God is a life that is also characterized by obedience. If you want to know what the will of God is, pray. Because God will show you and me His will. He'll show anyone His will who desires to know. But God will not reveal His will to people who are not willing to obey. And isn't it amazing how we say, "Well, I want to find out what the will of God is. I want to know all the circumstances. Then I'll make my decision." See, that's iniquity. That's sin. That's intending to be disobedient to God. That is intending to reject the Lordship of Christ over our life and over our hearts. I want to read two things and then I'll close this morning. James chapter 4 and verse 7. How do you and I come to have the grace of God work in our hearts and our life in such a way that we have victory in our lives? James chapter 4 verse 7 says, "Submit yourselves therefore to God, resist the devil, and he will flee from you." So we are mandated by Scripture to resist the things of this life and this world that will cause us to sin against God. The world, the flesh, and the devil. And so if we're participating in those things in this life, in this world, and then we pray and ask God to have victory, and we don't have victory, why can we expect it? We cannot. So the grace of God is diminished in our life. It's not taken away, but it's so diminished because we're living in sin against God. Then one last one, 2 Timothy chapter 2 and verse 22. Paul talking to young Timothy, a young man who had youthful lusts in his life. And here was Paul's admonition to young Timothy. He says, "Flee also youthful lusts, but follow righteousness, faith, charity," or love, "peace with them that call on the name of the Lord out of a pure heart." I just want to say these two things, and this is how we close this morning. When the grace of God is real to you, and it's real to me, it's because we are resisting what the world and what Satan wants to tempt us with. But there are some things in this life that we don't just resist. Because James said if we resist the temptation, we resist the devil, then he'll flee from us. We don't have to run. We don't have to do anything like that. But notice the difference, especially young people. Notice the difference what Paul said to young Timothy. "Flee also youthful lusts." You're to run from the things, the lust of the world, the lust of the flesh, and the lust of the things in this life. You're to run from those. Because you can't pray those out of temptation. You cannot pray those out of it. You'll stick around it long enough and it'll suck you in. But he says, "But follow righteousness, charity, faith, charity, peace with them, with all them who call upon the name of the Lord." How? Out of a pure heart. I want us to bow our heads and to close our eyes this morning. Because the grace of God is so important. The grace of God is the heart of who you are as a child of God. And the grace of God is the source for you and me. It's the well that we need to come to every day of our lives. It's the well that we need to come to corporately when we come together on Sunday morning, Sunday night, Wednesday night, any other time that we come together, whether it be a mission trip or a camp or Bible school or whatever ministry it may be, reaching out at the park like next Sunday night, whatever it may be. The grace of God is there always to sustain you, sustain me, for one purpose, And that is for the gospel of Jesus Christ to be given out to a lost and to a dying world. We've heard all of that this morning, and I praise God for every single word, every testimony. My heart leaps with joy this morning. But you know what the heart of a pastor is? That before we leave here today, that this, say this publicly and openly, that this continue, not just past tense last week, but present tense in the Greek sense. Present tense means ongoing, never ending, always going, always happening. That's what it means in the original language there. Always going, always ongoing, always happening. Is that the desire of your heart this morning? Is that the desire of your soul? That life would not distract you from the things that are really important to God? And ought to be important to you and to me. So we're here this morning. And this invitation this morning, two or threefold. If you're here today and you say, you know, I realize that I do not have the grace of God in me, in my heart, and in my life. I realize that. Got to go start the new jail ministry this past week. The first young man I talked to professed to be saved when he was young, and then back in 2004 he said it was real. But before that session was over, he said it was not real. The grace of God was not real to him. And how many times he'd been in church, how many times he'd been baptized, how many times. And the second young man came, the very same thing. You may be sitting here today say, you know, it's not real to me. But God is waiting for you to come and to accept what Jesus Christ did as payment for your sins. He's waiting for you to come to Him in faith, and that is surrender and yield and say, God, I believe what Jesus did for me. I believe that He died for me. I believe that He rose again from the dead for my sins. God, have mercy on me and save me and forgive me. And if that's where you're at today, you need to call upon the Lord. And if you're calling upon the Lord right now, when we stand to sing, you need to step out on the very first word of the invitation hymn and come forward today and declare publicly that today you have received Christ. As your Lord said, if you're not sure and you want to come and I'll pray with you, then you come, whatever God leads you to do in this place today. The second fold is, where are you at as a child of God? Is the grace of God powerfully real in your life? Or are you just pretending? Are you just playing the game? Where are you at? What are you doing? God requires as well as expects total surrender of ourselves to Him, our lives to Him. You're here this morning. You need to do what God bid you to do in this place.